Sure.
Okay, the following things I have to add are the zoning regulations, and other than that, I think everything is covered.
January 1st is a Wednesday.
Well, let's put that under select board correspondence,
okay.
And we'll put meeting time January 1. So I need a motion to amend the agenda as discussed.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then the agenda is approved. We need to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Does anyone have any problems with those? I need a motion. Are you still reading them, Frank?
No, not the minute. I'm looking at the accounts. Yeah.
Okay. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented?
Aye.
Any opposed? Done. Warrants for approval. Frank, if you have those, could you read off the various amounts and numbers for Cindy?
Warrant 19040, the tax refund for $297.13. Warrant 19038 is for $2,000 even, and that's the pass through grant to the FAST Squad.
Grant to which?
The FAST Squad, $2,000. $19039 for $1,000 to Black Ox, which probably is fixing the roof at the garage. $19036 $1,337.45. There's like six items on there. $19044 for $16,374.11, and that's looks like the regular operating expenses, and then the payroll is $19043 for a total of $8,619.24. And I move that we approve those.
Second.
Has everybody had a chance to look at all of those? And I did. All those in favor of approval?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then those warrants are approved. Road foreman report.
All right, so one of the things that I do have is we had that storm damage from the wind there blowing trees down. Sunday I got a phone call from a woman out on High Pastures. An ash tree that's broke off halfway up. And so I went out and she said it was a danger, so I went out and looked at it, whatever. I opted not to do anything with it because it's in the trees, the tops of the trees, and if you cut it, I'm afraid it's going to roll and hit on the power line. So I called the tree warden up, Cy, spoke to Cy about it. Cy went out and evaluated it, looked at it, and I don't know if it's be a conflict or not, but he would remove the tree for $400, but it's either that or I'm going to come around and get some prices of the trees going to sit there longer in there or what?
If there's a chance it's going to fall in the wires, can we get Green Mountain Power to take care of it?
I don't believe you can because it's not leaning or anything towards there. If somebody could come in and remove it, that's what they're going to tell me. Just get somebody coming in and remove it.
Is it in the road right of way? It's in the road right of way.
Oh, yeah. It's right out over the road. You're driving underneath it.
Well, we can get somebody like Henderson to come in, and there's also that Sam guy that Billy Emmons knows. He might do it for us. What's it say? What's his last name? Munson or something? He wrote a letter to us a year ago asking if he could bid on tree work. I could find out from Billy Emmons how to get hold of him if you wanted. Probably.
Is that the same one that your brother used down behind there and the Munson? That sounds familiar to me.
You mean by the cemetery?
Yeah.
I can't remember who he got in there.
They were at Lebanon or somewhere.
Then no, it wasn't. Uh-huh. I think Johnny would know how to get hold of him. Let me see what I can do. We can also call Henderson. Have you got any other trees that...
Well, for right now, that is one. And then I did talk to Cy. I guess he said that he's going to get together with Al Graham this winter, and they're going to come up with, kind of a tree standard thing or however, and then try to work up like an RFP with me or whatever on the $25,000 or whatever it is that gets allotted to remove these trees, and so that the scope of the work is all put together and so we can start moving forward on that. But he said he's going to work on that this winter. So
I think we put $10,000 in the budget, didn't we?
Yep.
So you have $10,000 to work with, so there's money in the budget to facilitate getting the tree cut. But it seems like if we were going to get somebody in here, if we had a couple other that were bad too, it might be worthwhile to get them to just go around with us.
It almost sounds like to me, though, in this...
This one's really dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And
that's where, I guess my question to the select board is that, number one, you got him as a tree warden. He's fully capable enough of removing the tree. When there was a tree warden, the tree warden come in and cut the tree down and ran it, we took care of it. Bill Gross, that's how Bill did it. I mean, that's how the tree warden did it. Was you identified the tree, and the tree warden come in, he took the tree down and we took care of it. And in a situation like this, what are you supposed to pull the road down?
The plan he's going to come up with this winter would certainly be something you'd want to either A, send out to bid or get multiple quotes on. But I think an instant like this is...
We're looking at $400. I mean, it's under the threshold for getting bids anyways, and it's a safety issue.
I mean, he went with that Monday and he could have removed it Monday. He would have put it down on the ground Monday and he would have taken care of it. But that's not my...
I make a motion to Cy remove it for $400.
Second, people think
otherwise.
All those in favor?
Aye.
On Cy removing it?
Yep.
Okay. He'll do it for a single morning.
Good.
You didn't. This one here, Steve. You all didn't sign. C. That last one. Nobody signed.
Oh.
So, okay, what else you got?
And in the meantime, maybe we're going to start going around and getting that stuff picked up once we get the rest of the snow fence put up, and we're trying to get some of the equipment around and ready for winter here right now, but then we'll be going to do that. I did call to have the lines painted. I've reached out to them twice now, and no one's called me back, but I'm hearing that they usually don't. They just show up and do them, so I told them we'd done the day. The salt prices, I called around and got some salt prices on, because as it stands right now, nobody will bring me any salt until we sign a contract.
You have three, amounts, and one of them was underneath the state bid by quite a bit, wasn't it?
One of them is $87 a ton. That was $78 a ton, and that was through Barrett's or Cargill. And then I called that Appalachian salt. I guess that's where you were getting your salt from last year.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a price of $83.25.
Because they got sick of coming up here. It's a long ways.
And then I called American Rock Salt, and they wouldn't even discuss anything with me because they were committed. So they weren't willing to give a quote. But I called Chris Bumps, and Chris Bumps told me for towns and cities underneath the state bid was $85 a ton.
So that's what we're going to pay on the state bid?
The towns and cities, yep. That's what he told me.
Well, we've done it we've gotten bids, quotes on our own before, and they've always come in under the state.
Yep.
And I would move that if Cargill will guarantee to give us what we need.
Well, here's the easier. These are the forms that you're going to have to do.
Did Cargill indicate that they would... that they had enough salt to supply our needs?
Yep.
For 78 a ton?
78, yep.
I move that we sign a contract with Cargill.
Second.
I would just amend that motion to sign the contract with Cargill, providing milk. Sign something that they'll guarantee us. I think we've done 1,000 tons before, haven't we?
Yep.
Okay. I'll accept that amendment.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's the amendment or the main?
Because that would be on the amendment.
Yeah.
That would be the amendment.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you ready to go back to the motion? Do you want to read the paperwork first, Fred?
No, as long as I think we've covered it.
We'll write in the contract, guarantee you 1,000 pounds.
What's that estimated?
We'll write in the contract, guarantee, you will guarantee they will guarantee 1,000 tons.
Yep.
That's what we bought last year, I believe.
Well, up to maybe.
Up to
1,000 tons.
Yeah.
You got to make sure it says up to. Because otherwise, they may tell us at the end of about 600 that we need to buy the other four.
So are we ready for the regular motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Okay. We'll get the salt from Cargill, and we'll do that paperwork. What else have you got?
Granite Ledge, that last project that we got to do over there for the stormwater guys. FEMA stuff for April 15th. Neil's been in touch with me and said that the Corps of Engineers have given them the okay for us to go ahead and stone that. We haven't got that done, but we will be getting that done in half an hour, close all that stuff out. And then I've got a meeting tomorrow with a guy by the name of Tyler Brown from Fish and Game Wildlife, because we've got beaver issues on Sessions Meadow and Stage Road. And then back to water up to where the water is not very far from the top of Sessions Meadow. And then they're backed up now on Stage Road to where it's through the culverts now. So he's coming to meet with me tomorrow and see what we can do to get rid of them. But with the pickup, they got the pickup over the Lockies right now, because the other day we're doing the Class 4 road and Justin was raking it on Wild Apple, and the hydraulics on it got hot, hot, hot. And so then it had a leak up and around the top of where the filter goes down in the top of the tank. It developed that same time, pretty much. And so I called Lucky's up, and was looking to see what the deal was with it. Well, then Eric was telling me that back when Jeff Robinson worked here, it got hot on Jeff too and melted the regulator and stuff on the top of the tank. So I told him, you guys got to look into it. Got to figure this out because the hydraulics are on all the time on that drive. That's what it was made to do. And I questioned him right now on if the reservoir is big enough. It's such a small, small tank, and I understand, but that truck isn't light. There are normal guys just going to dump off a load of dirt here and do this and do that. That's running continuously. When you're sanding with it, plowing with it, running the rake with it, and it's running continuously. So they've gone and said now that they feel that there is somewhere is a restriction in the system. So they were going to try to locate that out and see if they could find that restriction. That was the last report I had, but they said that they assured me that we would have it back by the end of the day to work on. So, okay. So they got to change the gasket that comes on the belt. And then we'll have that back. The tractor, I put put that little new valve in there to get the head to stop turning on it, and it's still turning. Right now from diving on it. The step they're going to have to do with the tractor to get it figured out. Because what's weird is there's days now where it don't turn at all when you're driving with it and the head's not on. And then there's days where it's like it's going half throttle. So I don't know. Something's not right with it. And so we're waiting to hear what they're going to do with that. Cloudland band rail will be installed tomorrow.
Go ahead.
So I did talk to Charles again today. And he said that there's a company, Vermont Rec, I think is what he said, it's coming over. And tomorrow morning, they do the band rail. There was a question in my mind if we had to go 40 feet up or what we were going to do there. To keep it less complicated, I opted not to do the extra 40 feet. Let it be on his shoulders and his responsibility to get the job complete. The only thing he did ask of me today, if he gets the band rail all completed tomorrow and the job's completed, if there was a way that somebody might be able to send him a check.
Ellen wrote me an email that she has written him an email or a letter that she needs insurance information from him, and so she will probably she needs some paperwork, and so she needs a W-9 form and a couple other things, and so she will probably not write him a check until she gets that. So you might want to tell him that. Let me see what she said she needed.
Shouldn't that have been done before?
Well, yes. I don't have any proof of insurance in my file, so I'm requesting a binder with the town pocket listed. As certificate holder, attached is a W-9 form which needs to be completed to designate the legal status of your customer company. Best if you could get these documents to me within the next week. So he's going to have to get those documents in, and then if the job is completed and you sign off on it, we're good. And it would be good if the job were completed because that grant runs out at the end of December. And so we need to get those invoices and stuff in so that we don't screw that up. So that would be great. But anyway, but she wrote him and sent me a copy, so he should be able to take care of that. And I'm sure
she wrote him too.
She wrote him, yes, and just copied me. So I'm sure that if he wants his money, he'll get the paperwork in.
Yeah.
We can hope.
Well,
and if he's got the band rail done, John had signed off on everything, right?
Yep. John's done with Scott's fine with it.
So
left was the band rail, and as it was rode up, I guess there was some. Anyways, that band rail was at the town's discretion on whether they're going to put band rail up. The way that John had it explained it in his plan, the RFP had it different. And that's where there was a little bit of a lack of hurrying up to get it done because Charles was confused on what that meant. So.
But he's good to go now.
Yep. He said he'll be there tomorrow to get it done. So he's supposed to be with him over there in the morning. I told him I'd be over. So I'll tell him that.
What else you got?
We had an issue with the brake, the parking brake on the loader last Friday. Nortrax came in, had to call Nortrax, and actually ended up locking up above Emily's, and Emily was nice enough to use her pickup to finish up the day with it. So they came up and looked at it. They drained the fluid out of the parking brake, and he said keep an eye on it from point A to point B. So I got up to here, put the hand up, it was cool. By the time I got it down to the garage, it had heated back up. Not hot, hot, but it had heated back up. So I've been keeping an eye on it, and it's like the brakes are dragging on it. So I've been in touch with them, and the guy had said that it, you know, felt like they were dragging, or it's going to get hot again. Going to have to replace the parking brake on it. So, and he gave me a quote today on that.
Kind of important.
Huh?
It's kind of important.
Spend some money on it.
But the other stuff they did cost less than
that's
what
right.
we hoped.
That was the other thing, and I should have explained it to you guys last time when I said the loader, the work on the loader before. That price he gave me was worst case scenario, just in case. So I didn't have to come back and say, hey, you know what, it's this, or it's, you know, it's this much more. And he actually sent me that today. I asked for that today. I don't have the bill yet on the roadside repair to it, but and that ended up coming to that repair was $2,232.36. So we saved on that.
Anybody want to see this? Okay. Well, at least we're $2,000 better than we thought we were there.
We still have to, we'll have a trucking fee that was on top of that too. We're bringing it down from Craig Mosier, and I haven't got that up yet. So I guess I'm going to pull the trigger and get it done, because he's saying that if it locks up on us, we'll have to take the drive shafts out of it, and we can still run it, but you're only going to have rear wheel drive, so anytime you go to put load on it, it's going to pick the tires up, you're not going to be able to. So,
I think we've got to fix it.
They can come and do it at the shop. They'll do it right there at the shop.
We've got to fix it.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing that I did have was health insurance. I got a notice there saying that we have to make our minds up on health insurance from November 1st till December 31st. Is open enrollment. The number one question that I've been asked from the guys and me too is, do we have a choice?
Well, Ellen just sent me, we just got a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield what the rate increase was going to be, and there is a rate increase. It's a little confusing. This may be a little higher because of the way Ellen pays for her health insurance, because she adds some in to make it a family plan. And so we're not quite sure, she's not quite sure what that rate increase that they quoted is. When we first, I was not on the board, but when they first signed up for health insurance through Vermont Health Connect, it was my understanding that the crew chose the plan that they wanted. Was anybody around?
I didn't have a choice. It was the gold plan.
It was the gold plan. And so when they originally signed up for Health Connect, that's what the guys chose. They got what they wanted. And I guess if
I guess Mike, but what are they?
What's that?
What are the you and
well, my like I don't know.
Would you want different?
I don't know so much about Dustin, but I guess my question is, if I have a choice to be able to pick between any of the plans, I'd go with the next plan above one, so the platinum plan, and I'd pay the difference because it's going to be cheaper for me to pay the difference than it is to pay the deductible in the gold plan.
That was kind of something that I had thought about when I was there too, because
and Eric is feeling the same way because it's going to be cheaper for me to pay that
than pay your deductible
to pay the difference in the premium.
I mean, I would think if the town wants to pay the gold plan in full, and if an employee wants to pay the difference for the next plan up, I would see no reason that we shouldn't do that. But
I don't see that that would be any problem at all. I guess the one question that one would have is, because we are a small group, and maybe when we're on Health Connect it doesn't matter, does everyone have to go with the same plan?
I don't think so. I know at Chipper you can.
So I guess that would be the only question.
I don't think you would have to, because with the letter that I've got, they're giving me the option to pick. They're giving everybody the option to pick. So I don't think they wouldn't offer that letter, I wouldn't think. That's why I'm asking with you guys, are we allowed to?
Certainly can if we approve it, and I don't see a reason why we shouldn't.
Certainly if you're willing to pick up the difference, and we would provide, that's what we would offer to provide as a goal plan. If you want something more, and you're willing to pick up the increase in premium rates, I would vote for that.
And, all right, so I'll just mention it.
Why don't you talk to the crew
and
see what their feelings are. And in order to vote on that, to change that, we'd have to put that on the agenda, and and also, I'd like to make sure that people can mix and match. If not, everyone wants to do that, and so I think that would be a conversation you'd have to have with Health Connect, which might take several days of waiting on the phone. Well, it's very challenging. No offense. Anyway, so I don't think there's a problem there. Why don't you talk it over with them, and then we'll have a discussion about it.
I met with Scott Jensen today, and we went around and looked at a few culverts that I have in mind and made sure that we didn't need to have permits. One of them was the one at the top of Howell Hill. We dropped down the backside just down below where I guess it would be Brooks' sunrooms.
Yeah.
It's not big, but it needs to be bigger. I think it's a two-footer that's in there now. He's saying a four-footer. Then we went up to Ron Glotty's up there where that bend's all sloughed off. And he looked at that. He said he didn't think we'd need a permit for either one of them, but he would let me know right off. And that one, he said, another four-footer. We'd have to put that in there. Then we went down to the one at the foot of the hill past Emmons's, headed back down towards Woodstock. They're down there, and there's a five-footer down there. The drop's turned off on the edges, and it needs to be wider. So we looked at that, and he said that's a structures grant. That we have to apply for a structures grant on it. And I went to climb down in to look at it. I hadn't been down underneath there to look at it. My projection is that road this spring, they ain't gonna be there. That culvert's gonna be gone.
Taking a look at the one on Wild Apple there. Taking a look at the one on Wild Apple.
Wow, the one on Wild Apple Road, I've been down in, it's at that double culvert deal. Yeah. This one here, it's a 5-footer, and I'm gonna tell you right now, it's buckling. Buckling, it's coming down. It's squashed all it's gonna. And now it's coming in like this. And I wouldn't be able to go in there. Scott goes, yeah, no, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. It's buckling right now. So, I don't know.
So,
if we want to just weigh our options and then apply for the grant, or what you're going to want to do with it. But
Well, either way, we've got to get we'd have to get an engineer in there to look at it and give us some ideas how to engineer it, just like we did with down at the end of the Cloudland, and whether you want to try and get V-Trans to come and design something, or whether you want to just have an engineer design it. I guess that's up to what would the board be thinking. It sounds to me like that we do something fairly soon.
Call the state of Vermont, that would come right up, get a hydraulic study done on it, because they're going to need a permit for it. And he recommended either a box culvert or the same thing like that arch culvert.
Do you want to try and see if Chris Bump can wrangle some engineering for us to engineer it?
Ask him.
Well, it's not going to cost anything to ask.
The hydraulic studies, you just call them up and ask them to do it. They did it three or four of them for us before.
But
they did the one.
Do you think that there's any likelihood they might do the engineering for it? It's not going to cost anything to ask.
No.
And if not, we can still.
I don't know what their workload is now. The reason we hired the engineering down on Cloudland is
because
they were too busy.
They were too busy.
Yeah.
I know Scott may tell me that the hydraulic study, they don't get, there's no charge on the hydraulic study. But they're moving forward. Said, I don't know.
The other thing we could do is we could ask Horizons to give us a price as to what it would cost to engineer it, have him go take a look. And get a proposal from him as to what it would cost. We could get that in the works if the board thought we should.
I got a hold of, well, it was Mike Willis, but he sold out a new outfit of Same People. They're the other ones that gave a quote. We'd have to dig back in the stuff. They're the other ones for both.
Maybe if you could find that, you could send it along, and I'll get hold of them both. Then Jimmy maybe could take them both up there.
And do we happen to know when, I mean, the deadline is, or if there's even a...
The structure grants, we should be putting in a structures grant now, and that Better Roads grant is the 20th of November, and the structures grant is later, and I can look that up and figure that out.
All right, so who's doing the...
Pardon?
Who does that? The
structures grant?
Yeah.
Well, that would have to be a joint effort, I guess. But we'd have to get, we would, in order to put in the structures grant, you're going to have some engineering done prior to that in order for that to occur, because you're going to have to get some price estimates on it. And so at least that was, that grant that you did was a Better Roads grant, but I'm sure we... You're going to have to do a schematic and an approximate price before, and so. But I can look up the structures grant. I think we've got a little more time on that one.
Right after that, I met with Pete Phillips, and I had a conversation with him. That there's those two. I think they're Better Back Roads grants. One's for $60,000 and the other one's for $20,000. And I asked him, I said, since I were doing this project on Howe Hill, and that's a 4-foot culvert on the $60,000, can I do that project on that? And he said, yes, we can. But, and then I says, well, that's not going to eat up all the $60,000. So I said, in that application, it covers for the payment too on that project. He goes, yeah. So I said, if I could spend $10,000-$15,000 on paving out of that, paving on top of it, yeah, no. He says, you can do that. So then I asked him about the $20,000 grant. I said, is that sufficient too to slide right in on this project to do these other culverts? And yes, we can. So we can potentially change pretty much all them culverts if we get them grants.
Well, let me get the paperwork out. Maybe we'll have a meeting next week and we'll get it together.
And the deadline now has been extended, so it's December 13th now.
Oh, that's good. Okay, we'll get together and talk about it next week.
And then the only other thing that I got is Art has asked me to be put in on the first meeting of December for an executive session with the board.
Okay.
And there is one other thing that I do have. The annuals that I do, is there a different form that I am using for an annual?
That PR person, HR person, excuse me, is supposed to meet with Ellen shortly. And she may have some input on that. I don't know whether that meeting has been scheduled. Ellen said that, or Scott sent the email that said he was going to set it up with Ellen, right? And so we can find you some choices of forms, I guess, and you can choose whatever you want to use. Would that work for you?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'll just want to assume.
Or you can use the same form if you want.
Yeah, just
whatever form you're comfortable with is okay with me. What about you guys?
Yeah, it doesn't. I think simpler is better. Yeah.
And if you, and then
if you have comments that you want to add to it, then add them. But
I mean, I don't. That's why I was asking before. I
get the forms that VTrans uses. I'll print those up.
As long as they're not all complicated union business.
I haven't really looked at them. They don't look complicated.
I see some of the stuff that comes through that lean towards union, and we're not a union.
Yeah, I know.
I wish we were. There was days I wish I was, so I'd just stand around and do nothing.
You wouldn't be able to handle that anyway, Jim.
But the other question that I do also, when we come to an annual, is there a reward that comes with that annual?
Potentially.
Huh?
I mean, yeah, that would be the time of year that you would get a pay increase, I would think.
That's
based on, you know, how the
performance or
performance
and how it all
and all of that.
And so that is something, because with the particular individual that's getting ready to come up, he's a good worker and he's got a lot of talent, and I think I know for a fact he's had a job offer, and he's told me right now, but he's not, nothing he's going to do, but you need to take care of him.
I couldn't agree more.
I
couldn't agree more. I mean,
if you want good help down there in that garage, you're going to have to take care of him.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
I think moving forward, once I get the annual, where do I go with the annual then? I come to the board, and then we sit down and we talk about it.
Yep.
The other thing that we might want to consider as a board, which is because you brought this up, one thing that would be really nice would be that if you did these annuals, once you got past that first anniversary of a person's employment, if you did them all the first of the year or first of July or whatever, so that, you know, you didn't have these rotating annuals and rotating anniversaries, so that you could just say, okay, 1st of January, I'm going to do reviews, and I'm going to have them done by the 1st of February, and then we're going to be done with that for a year, except for your 3-month conversations. And that's something that the board and you could decide, but it was just a thought that I had, and now that you mention it, I'll put that out there and then shut up.
In the annual, just, I mean, in what little bit that I suggest, you know, and I know Frank was kind of the road commissioner or however that was, and so I think to a little bit of a degree, we would need some of Frank's input onto it too, because I can't, I mean, I haven't been with him for a year, you know, I mean, I know he's got potential, he's a good kid, he's a hard worker, But I don't know what it was like for the last, you know, 6 months, or I don't know. I can't fairly sit down right now and say, yeah, you know, for his...
Well, the other... Those... Would those previous reviews, would they be something that Jim would have the ability to look at?
Yeah, because he's their supervisor now.
Yeah.
So you could look at his previous review. If Ellen has those in the file there, and you could look at those so that you would know. But asking, I understand, because we as a board, when Frank was taking care of things down there, as a board, we really didn't have any way to make any kind of comment because we weren't running the show. We were just, you know, we weren't there on a daily basis. And so we really couldn't say. Or at least I felt I couldn't really have any input that would be worthwhile. So, yeah.
And I do agree with you 100%. When the Evan Valley annuals come, they should come at the same time every year for everybody.
Well, it just would make the bookkeeping and the administration of the whole thing a heck of a lot simpler. And
my next question is just to clear it up, because it's been asked, because often I just want to make sure everything's clear, is that when you're on a 6-month trial, your start time, that time you start, that is from that day a year ago, a year after, that's your anniversary, or is it because you become a full-time employee in 6 months? Does it start at 6 months?
No, it should start from your hire date. Right.
The hire date, right?
Yep.
Yep, that's what I thought. But I've been asked until I was getting here.
Everything starts from the hire date. I mean, there's sometimes you're not eligible for certain things, depending on where you work, for a certain amount of weeks or months, but yeah, it's all...
That probationary period is really only if things aren't going well at all, it gives you a way to...
It's an out.
It's an out, so that you aren't... If the employee just isn't working out, just doesn't fit the program, and you've just really made an error of judgment, and they just aren't qualified as they thought they were, or you thought they were, it's your way to get out of it without a lot of documentation.
So,
anything else?
That's it. Sorry it took so long.
Let's do the census, Mr. Tip Simmons, and then we'll go to the truck bids. You've got the floor.
My card. I'm Tom Simmons. The card will say I'm out of the New York office, but I actually live in Chester, Vermont. And I'm a partnership specialist, which means my job. Do you mind if I sit? Good. my job as partnership specialist for the Bureau is to go around and explain the changes in the census this year, because it's very different this year than in the past. The rollout in the town, how it might affect you, and things, basically, so you're all on board with what's happening, because you will get questions from people in the town as this rolls out. And I'm in charge of Windsor and Windham counties. So I am your point of contact. So if anyone should call, you have any questions, people in the community have any questions, you can direct them right to me. The address checking has already been completed on the ground, which means we've already had people out checking addresses against the master address lists that the U.S. Census keeps. Of course, the address list they had was from 10 years ago, and houses get built and houses get demolished and old houses get cut up into apartments, so all that had to be checked, and it's finished now. The actual rollout of the census... 95% of the country is going to be under a single system. And that means on March 12th, people will get the first notice in the mail. The technical census date is April 1st, but it's starting early. So on March 12th, people will get the first of four mailings. and what's probably going to be, what's going to be new for a lot of people, for everyone, is that the first three mailings are not going to contain the actual census. For the first time in history, it's going to be, everyone's going to be directed to go online to complete the census. And there are positives and there are obstacles involved with that. So the first notice people get is going to be, hey, census times, decennial census, every 10 years, federal government mandates this, go online and do your census. The second one will be a week later. Hey, we haven't heard from you, don't forget us, go do your census. The third one is, hey, what's the matter with you? Do your census. But finally, the fourth mailing, which will come the first week of April, will actually be the form. Now, in that process, the census will be mailed to occupant at or residence at 15 Blueberry Hill, whatever it is. It's not addressed to a person's name, which means some people are going to see address to occupant and toss it. Other people are going to see, oh, I can do it online. I don't have a computer. I don't have connectivity. I'm not a computer person. And are going to just assume that they're not part of the census somehow. The reality is everyone will get a form at some point if they don't throw it away because they're tired of getting four mailings from the Census Bureau. And you can do it via phone. But the internet aspect may encourage some people and it may discourage some people. That's 95% of the country, and there's a reason I mention that. There's another 5% of the country that it's not going to follow that process because the Census Bureau was unable to get a solid grip on lining up P.O. boxes for people who get mail at the post office with their addresses. Pomfret has the notoriety of being 50% in each system. And in fact, if you...
I have a folder of goodies for each of you.
If you open up and look at the... It's a very crude map on the left-hand side, which is not public yet. It's not even finished yet. But I wanted you guys to have this for this time. You'll see Pomfret's half blue and half gold. And I honestly, at this point, don't know where the streets are. And what the dividers are. But the point is about half the town is going to get the four mailings, and about half the town is going to get someone just drop the form off at their door and leave. And that will be their one shot at the census. So, I raise all that because A, there will be some confusion in town. Hey, I got a form. Hey, I didn't. I got a postcard that said go online. Maybe, you know, someone might think, oh, if you get the form, you have to do it, but if you get a postcard, it's like optional. Getting the right numbers, counting everybody, is critical for the town and the state. The census numbers that come in will, for the next 10 years, be tied to the amount of funds that Vermont gets for Meals on Wheels, Medicare, school lunches, special education block grants to the state, women, infant, children, SNAP, federal highway funds, fuel assistance, housing rehab, a lot of stuff that you guys see in your budget that may come from the state or be an option that you might be able to get from the state in terms of the grant is coming from the federal government and it's based on these numbers. So you want everyone to respond to the census. Now, there's no longer a long form. So that's actually one good thing, because people don't like filling out forms for 2 hours. It's a very simple form. It's 9 questions, and that's it. Your name, your address, your phone, your birthday, how many people live here, your race, your gender. Real simple. To get a complete count in Pomfret, what we need are trusted voices in the community being aware of what's happening as it's happening and to promote that it's important to to the town that people actually do respond. One positive sign is that there's a lot of population demographics that tend not to respond. Single seniors, African-American young men, foreign-born, people who move frequently. Statistically, Pomfret doesn't stand out in any of those categories. Pomfret is very typical of most of rural Vermont. So there's no red flags there. Nonetheless, there are people who may be confused by the new system or who may just not respond because why do I have to tell the government my birthday kind of thing? I mean, that happens all the time. So what and really I'm asking you to help yourselves to make sure everyone gets counted. One of the things we're asking towns to do, if you have any type of communication with townspeople, and by that I mean a newsletter, a website, a listserv, a Facebook page, any way that you communicate with people in the town, if you'd let me send you things from time to time to put in those media to promote the fact that the census is coming, here's what you should be looking for, here's why you should respond, here's why it's important to the town. Some towns, well actually every town I've been to, has basically given me ideas of who are the trusted voices, who do I need to speak to get the message out in town, you know, besides you just having the knowledge and talking about it. In most towns it's been senior citizen centers, and I don't know if you have one, but you might have, I don't know if it's the Grange or somewhere else, might have a monthly or a weekly senior lunch. I have gotten so large eating senior lunches in the last 2 months. Lots of chili and soup and sandwiches. But I go, I talk for 5 or 10 minutes, walk people through that process. I usually make an arrangement with the library, so the library is willing to help people do it online if they're not comfortable doing it themselves. So if there are, whoever the movers and shakers are in the community, it helps if I can know.